Are you in your early 20s and feel like you're learning, growing, and lost at the same time? Do you ever feel like you're still too young to have it all figured out, but also too old to still be figuring it out? Or some days you may be on the high and other days you may be feeling low. Either way, Something About Our 20s, the podcast, is just for you. We'll be discussing all of these life experiences, changes, and growing pains that come with these 20-somethings. I'm your host, Makaya Davis, and just like you, I'm taking things day by day because let's be real, adulting is a lot. So let's talk about it. Hey everyone, welcome back for another episode of Something About Our 20s. I'm your host, Makaya Davis, and today I have a special guest, my friend Tamira. Tell me your name, your age, and anything else you'd like to add.
Hi, I'm Tamira, and I'm 24 years old, and I'm just happy to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. So today's topic is learning to love yourself. So we'll be discussing how to find self-love. First, I want to get straight into it. Let's talk about the meaning of self-love. What does it mean to really love yourself?
When you think about self-love, you got to think about love first. Like, where does that come from? And to me, I believe that comes from God. So to truly love yourself is to think about how God loves us and to try and love yourself in that same way.
That's where it really starts. Mm-hmm. So I love that explanation. And I will say that as I got older, I feel like I started to learn that loving yourself comes with more than just saying, oh, like, I love the way I look. It's more than the surface. It's really mm-hmm. internal things that you have to learn. And I think that comes with age and adulting. So let's get into that journey of loving yourself. Growing up and as you transition into adulthood, have you always felt that you loved yourself? And if not, how'd you know that you didn't?
Loving myself, it hasn't always been an easy thing. And I definitely had a lot of insecurities growing up.
So why do you think that you didn't have that self-love at first in regards to insecurities?
Yeah, as far as insecurities, you know, with body image and all of that, that was a huge thing for me growing up. I always thought I was, like, on the bigger side, so it was always on my mind. Like, not that that's a bad thing at all, but that's what society tries to tell you. And so, again, just, like, trying to fight how other people try to bring you down. You know, as a black girl, like with my hair, that's always been an insecurity, like trying to figure out
how you wanna wear your hair. Yes, how to deal with that natural hair.
Yeah, just like learning how to take care of it or not wanting to take care of it at all, wanting to be straight all the time, like just anything. Like that was a huge thing too.
Yeah, I definitely get that. Hair is a big thing. So let's get into the journey of self-love. Let's go back to that time when you were stating that you had those insecurities. Who was that Tamira? How would you describe her?
That Tamira was very boxed in. When you think about the potential that Tamira has, that Tamira was not trying to reach it in that aspect. Like, she was just trying to stay within the lines and not take too many risks, really. Like, she just really wanted to feel like she fit in. That hindered her in a lot of ways. That's it.
So how did not feeling that self-love all the way, how did that affect the way you showed up in different relationships, whether that be platonic or romantic?
You know, having those insecurities led me to not necessarily making the right decisions in terms of forming healthy boundaries and keeping those. And, you know, as definitely as a woman, knowing how to set your boundaries and staying strong to those is very important when going into a relationship of any kind. So, and definitely, like, when it comes to romantic relationship, you know, not being able to stay true to yourself and love yourself and not relying on someone else to do that for you who may not have the best intentions for you, that can set you up for disaster, and that's not what anyone would want.
And I think, like, to your point, one thing that I struggled with when it came to adulting and forming relationships and we can touch on romantic relationships. I had different experiences where I was like, you don't get to treat me that type of way, but I was allowing it, and I had to take a step back and think, like, this is not a reflection of how I even view myself. Mm-hmm. So in that dynamic, I wasn't loving myself because I was allowing someone to disrespect me. So like you said, loving yourself comes with setting boundaries and stuff, which is hard. And mm-hmm. I think when you don't love yourself, you tolerate a lot of disrespect.
Yeah. For sure. If you don't show someone that you love yourself, why would they love you?
Exactly. You know? They're going to treat you
how you let them.
Sense, yes, yeah. For sure. So what type of men were you attracting when you didn't love yourself, and tell me about that experience?
The bottom of the barrel, let me tell you. The bottom of the barrel. And it's like, I don't know, it's like some radar just goes off, like when that switch flips and we're suddenly not in the best mindset or something. It's like, here's all the crazies come, like they just know. And like me in particular, you know, I didn't have the best mindset. You know, I didn't have self-love in a sense. And my confidence was down. And I had also never been in a relationship before. So
let's touch on that. Yeah, let's pause there. Yeah. So me and Tamira met. We were interning at Procter & Gamble. We were going into our freshman year, and we got into this internship program that they had for Black women at P&G. We met, we formed a bond, and we always used to talk about like a romantic life or whatever, who we were dealing with. And Tamira touched on how she had never really been in a relationship. And at that time, we were like, what, 18. We were 18, yeah. And the program was for 3 years. So even throughout when you got into your 20s, you hadn't been in a relationship yet either. Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel as you were entering college and throughout high school and not ever experiencing a relationship? Because it's so many people out there who haven't. And I think that we should normalize that. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
We should normalize that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely in high school, you know, watching the TV shows and the movies and then just seeing it with your own eyes. You see people get in and out of relationships all the time. And it's like, here I am, never been in one. And like, you can't help but wonder, it's like, is it me? It's like, I know I'm not ugly, right, but it's like, okay, what's going on? And so it was definitely like something I wanted. And I did try to tell myself, like, it's not the end of the world. But it's like, also, like, who wouldn't want to experience a healthy love?
Right.
So it's definitely something that I wanted. And I would consider myself then like a hopeless romantic. Like, I'll read book romance novels and, you know, rom-coms and all that. I love watching it. And so it's always something that I wanted to experience. And then going into college, I was really excited, like, first going off to college, because I thought, oh, this is the time I can finally meet somebody. It's going to be a whole new experience. I was going to Howard University. I was going to find a Howard man. It's a complete lie.
I was like, you about to go to Howard, girl. You about to meet so many people. I just know it's going to happen.
You would think. You would think, but no. The population at Howard, there's barely any men, and the men that are there are dogs, or I don't know if I could have said that, but no, you're fine. They're like, you know, they're not, you know, you don't have the best options. They're either taken or they're just for the streets.
People don't talk about it enough that there are people out here who are literally in their 20s who haven't experienced a romantic mm-hmm. relationship. I don't think it's a reflection of you. I think it's just your experience and your timing.
With the topic of self-love, to have that pining to be in a relationship, if you haven't been in one before, you also have to think, like, why do you feel this pining to be in a relationship? It's important to feel complete with just yourself, and like with the love that you get from God, like that's all you really need. And all the other stuff is just nice to have, like the other stuff that's a blessing to have that not everyone's blessed with, but like you need to feel complete with yourself, or else going into a relationship, it's just not gonna go, it's not gonna be well.
Right. And do you feel like a part of the reason why you wanted a relationship as well was because you wanted to, like, feel that love that maybe you were missing in a sense?
You know, family-wise, I've always received lots of love, so there wasn't any deficit with that. But it's really something that I thought I deserved, because I thought, like, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not ugly. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't I have this when I see all these other people having it? And I think that was the wrong outlook to have on it going in.
So you got to Howard University. What type of experiences did you have?
When I got to Howard, I, like, nothing really happened until my junior year. Like, prior to that, I still hadn't been in a relationship, and I got to my junior year, and it's like, well, and, you know, it was funny, because, like, every time I'll come home for vacation, most of the questions would be like, oh, who you talking to? Who you meet up there? I'd be like, nobody. But yeah, by the time junior year came around, that's when I met a particular person off of a dating app, and that was the start of just a terrible experience.
And I asked that question on what type of men were you attracting during the time where you didn't feel that much self-love, because typically when we're in the space where we may not love ourselves fully, we attract certain people, like we touched on. And that comes with men too. That comes with friends too, like friends who are users and anything like that. Was there anything in that experience that showed you the reason why I, you know, went into this relationship is because a part of me was missing some of that self-love?
I met him junior year, and like after a month, like, kind of ended that. I could just tell, like, this wasn't it. I deserve better than what's going on here. But I had, like, a stronger mindset then. And then senior year comes along, and he slides into my DMs. And by that point, I got through some stuff, and my mindset was not good. And I was not feeling the confidence, not feeling the self-love. So when he had slid in my DMs again, I was just like, oh, well, you know, he apologized. And, you know, worst thing that could happen is we just stopped talking again. But
right.
I just wanted that attention, I guess. So then I started talking to him, which was the wrong decision to make, because regardless, like, if you're seeing those red flags, then it's really not worth it to stick around, because, mm-hmm. like, it can only get worse.
And what were some of those red flags that you said you saw in the beginning and you knew, like, no, this is not it? What were some of those?
It was giving, like, possessive, always wanting to be on the phone all the time, like, in a bad way. Like, mm-hmm. I would be sitting in class, and he'll text me, like, or try to call me, text me, what are you doing? Like, I'm in class, like, I can't talk to you right now. And that would be a problem. It's like, just wanting to be around all the time, not wanting to give me any space to myself. He would be, like, very jealous. In the beginning, I kind of just pushed to the side, because I was so excited about the possibility that this could be my first boyfriend.
Yeah, of course you're not thinking something crazy will happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just thinking, oh, we're just gonna stop talking. So when you were in this relationship with him, how long did this last?
It ended up lasting almost a year, but I didn't want it to last that long. It kind of turned to a situation of, like, I didn't know how to get away from him. I was in a position where I was, like, scared to leave him, because I didn't know, like, how he was going to react to that type of notion.
Because he was so controlling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would just be, like, mean. Just talking to me in a way, it was like, there's no way you could actually like me and be talking to me in this way. But then it's like, why are you with me if you don't like me? And that was something I didn't understand at the time, but, like, that was emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. And that's how it was at first. It was just emotionally abusive. But of course, like, abusive relationships, they always escalate over time. And then it turned physical. And still, it was like, I was tolerating it because, I say tolerating, but it's like, when it gets to that point, I was kind of just like, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm. Confused. Yeah. Because it happened so fast. And when I think back to that time when you were going through that, it was like, it escalated quickly because mm-hmm. we were having conversations about him and it was like, yeah, like this is nothing or mm-hmm. whatever. And then you noticed the red flags in the beginning. And you was like, no, I'm cool. But then he slid in the DMs mm-hmm. and it was back on. But it was like everything transpired super fast, yeah. I say. And I think during that time, I heard less from you too.
Yeah.
So how did you being in that whole situation affect your other relationships, like your friendships, your relationship with your family?
It affected everything. And that was like, that's what they do. Like, that's their plan. That's their motive. Like, they want to isolate you so that, and you know, he tried to make me believe that my friends never liked me, my family doesn't love me, which sounds so crazy, but it's like that he just tried to get in your head mm-hmm. and like gaslighting you to the extreme, to where he's making yourself feel crazy. I barely was talking to my friend. He made me fall out with my roommate, who we were very close with. We're good now, but my family, I wasn't talking to them as much. They were worried about me.
Yeah.
He didn't want me talking to anybody but him all the time.
Right. He wanted to isolate you, to have you all to himself so he can do whatever he wanted to do.
And he's on me all the time. And I realized because I'm with him all the time, I never get time for myself. I never get time to think like, maybe I should leave. When it gets to that point where it's emotionally and physically abusive, you turn into like survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you just live day by day, just trying to get through another day. And it turns every day just about him. Like, what are his needs? What are his wants? To try and like appease him so you can just get through the day. Mm-hmm. And that's just how every day is.
You didn't have no time to focus on what you wanted to do, your goals. You were in school at the time.
I was president of my business fraternity, and he just interrupted everything. And I didn't want to be in it anymore. And then it just came to a point of like, well, how do I get out? Because I didn't know how to get out. I knew that regardless of what my mindset was, this was not what God wanted for me. And I think, you know, like regardless of how much you feel the self-love for yourself, you need to always, how I say, keep your set your boundaries mm-hmm. and stay true to them.
So how did you end up getting out of that situation?
I basically had to escape the situation, and my family played a big part of that. I had to do a lot of healing, and like I'm still doing that, but you know, just reminding myself like at the end of the day, it wasn't my fault, because at the end of the day, like, it's the abuser's fault for abusing you.
Yeah, for sure.
There are things that I can take accountability for myself, which is like not staying true to my boundaries. I can't help but think, like, had I had the self-love that I truly need to have, would I have been able to evade that situation altogether? I immediately went into like therapy because, you know, it was a very traumatic experience. And I've been saying like relationship this whole time, but I really don't like calling it a relationship because he was really a predator. Like when I met him on the dating app, he had told me he was like 24. Really, he was 34. I was 20 at the time.
Sickening.
Like, I wasn't even old enough to drink, and he was preying on me. Yeah, there was a lot with that, but like, he was a predator. So yeah, because of that, I had to go into therapy and question, like, after going through that and all the things that he did to me, how could I be loved again? Like, is it like, can I find a true love after this? And, you know, the first step to that is learning to love yourself again. Like, you know, I can look back on this experience and think of so many things that I wish I would have done, or, you know, I should have did this, I could have done that. And the first step of that is forgiving yourself for having gone through that, because it's hard to forgive yourself for something that you think could have been so easily evaded. But then you also have to think, God forgives us for all our sins. So mm-hmm. why can't we, you know?
Yeah, I think that's really important to touch on and to know that a part of loving yourself comes with forgiving yourself for different things that you feel like you may have had a part in, different behaviors or different actions that you did, and you knew that you were disappointed in yourself. You have to forgive yourself, because if you don't, you're going to have that self-blame, and that's going to continue to mess with your mindset and make you feel like, oh my God, that's my fault.
And they say, like, a lot of people who are in abusive relationships end up getting in another one right after. And I think it's because they struggle with having that self-love and kind of learning from mistakes from the past and being able to recognize what true love is versus what's not. You know? And coming out of this, like, I prioritize rebuilding my, you know, my platonic friendships.
Yes, you first. Did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I immediately reached out to everybody because I didn't talk to my closest friends for almost a year.
Listen, Tamira has always been like, we talk, we communicate, like, you're on top of your stuff, you're about your business. So when there was a point in time where you just went missing, I'm like, wait a minute, I haven't heard from Tamira. And I was contacting you and stuff, and I'm thinking, like, something is not right. Mm-hmm. Something is not right. So throughout that whole time, it really had me heartbroken for you, because I know how good of a person you are. And I think oftentimes friends and family or whoever, they might see somebody else a different way that they don't see themselves. And I think that, like, I've always told you, like, you're an amazing person. I've seen that light in you always. So when you went through that whole process, I was like, no. Like, no, that's not fair to you at all. So it was really hard as your friend to know that you were experiencing something like that. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's out there ever been in that type of situation, to know that it's not your fault at all, like, it definitely wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I feel like you learned so much about yourself afterwards. Like, you came out as a different person. Tamira right now, this is not the one that I met. Like,
no, I feel like a completely different person. And I want to touch on, like, with the whole isolation, like, you know, abusers, they want to isolate you. And then also felt like I was isolating myself because I knew how destructive this person was, and I didn't want the people that I really cared about to be hurt by him either. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, he would make threats all the time about hurting people that I love. And so I just wanted to contain as much as possible, which just led into the whole, I just went silent.
And you did what you thought was best at the time.
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, and what I'm learning, like, through my therapy is, you know, abusers thrive on you being silent. The best thing that you can do in any time of strife is to reach out to people that you know care about you. And that's the last thing they want you to do,
because they know that's going to mess up everything that they're trying to do. Because essentially they're trying to destroy you. They're trying to keep you there and to keep doing whatever they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Like, early on when I saw those red flags, I wasn't telling people that I saw those red flags because I knew they would say some. And, like, I know my friends are protective. So if had I told them something bad, then they would have had this bad image in their mind. They wouldn't like him. And, like, this is my first boyfriend, so I don't want no problems. So I didn't tell them anything, but I should have, because then people would have been more on guard about what was happening. And, you know, things could have been different. But yeah.
And nobody knew, for real, until
nobody knew.
Until you started going missing, until things were different about you. Like, you can notice little signs when someone starts to change, and I think that's when people got worried.
Yeah, and I thought, like, I hid it well, but it was, like, my parents that were noticing, because, like, you know, I can't hide from my parents. When I go home, they see me, but they were noticing a difference about me. We think we hide it well, but the people who we're close to, they can pick up on those differences. And that's why abusers want to isolate us in the first place.
So let's talk about more of learning self-love. Learning to love yourself means you have to change different behaviors. So you may have to change your mindset, your lifestyle, and habits in order to really start that journey. What are some things that you had to change?
I need to change, like, just my outlook on what's the meaning of living, really.
Right.
You know, like, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's Tamira's purpose on being on this earth? And let's focus on that. I kind of stayed off social media for a while just to help clear my mind after everything that happened, without having the influence of him, without having influence of social media, just focus on building myself back up.
That's important what you said about social media and how you had to get off of there, because it affects a lot of people's mindset. On social media 24/7, you're seeing people in relationships, you're seeing people posting all these different quotes and these different things in their lifestyle and what they have going on, and it makes you think about yourself in comparison, and that can be detrimental to somebody's mindset.
Comparison was also a big thing, because I ended up graduating a year later than all my peers, and so I didn't want to feel like, oh, they're going off doing all these things and here I am still trying to get my degree.
Wait, let's touch on that. So I'm always big on taking breaks. I think taking breaks are important, and taking the time to do what you need to do, that's important. Talk about how you took some time off from school and why you chose to do that after you got out of the situation.
I took some time just because I stopped going to school the spring of my senior year. That following fall, I took some time off just because I needed to dedicate time to therapy and just like finding myself again. That should always be priority number one over anything else you do. Just spend a lot of time learning to be myself again. That was huge. And so once I felt like I got to a point where I started feeling like myself again, then I was like, okay, I'm ready to go back, finish out what I set out to do and get my degree.
And you did.
And did.
Yeah, and did.
Yeah.
So what steps are you continuously taking to ensure that you're showing up for you?
One main thing that I appreciate every day is just that I'm not in that situation anymore, and I do have the opportunity to do that at all. And then, like, of course, I do therapy, which I think is important for anyone, like, regardless of what you've went through, because it's important to know how to process your feelings and, yes, like, just everyday life.
I say that too. I say I'm for therapy in your 20s, for real.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, prior to that, you know, I'm in school, I'm close to graduating, I was about to start my job search, just all the stuff that I had so many plans for that got paused.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get back to that. So, you know, I ended up hitting a lot of goals the year I got out of that relationship. My job, I had a salary that I wanted to reach. I hit that. You know, I wanted to be remote. It's remote. I just hit all these goals. It felt very fulfilling. So, like, after doing that, I felt like, okay, even though it was postponed, it was still in the plan for me.
Yes.
And so that also just gave me a lot of hope for the future. Like, God has me. Like, God has a plan for all of us. And despite what the devil tries to do to bring us down, God's going to win at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to not give up on ourselves and to have that self-love. Because there's always going to be something out there that's going to want to tear us down and stop us. But God's always going to show the way. We have to have the courage and the strength and that self-love to take that path.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And trusting his timing, because the timing is not ours. And I love how you said that you started to achieve all these goals after you stepped into that process of loving yourself. Do you feel like you're ready to embark on the journey of love again, or experience another relationship sometime soon in the future?
I feel like I'm getting there. A lot of healing has to go into place so that we do get to that point where we can think about going into a relationship. You know, I can say that I've gone to a place where I'm finally at peace with myself, and you know, the things that have happened, and I just have like a positive outlook.
So what do you no longer tolerate, or what are some boundaries that you have? And this could be for platonic or romantic relationships.
I kind of grew up being a people pleaser. Like, I was scared of confrontation and I just want to do anything to just keep the peace. But something that I learned in my therapy is, like, we're not meant to be peacekeepers, we're meant to be peacemakers. And the difference between that is sometimes you have to bring up the risk of conflict in order to create genuine peace.
I feel like my downfall is that I'm too nice. Nice as in keep giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Keep saying, oh, okay, like maybe they're, you know, they're going through this, so let me just excuse it. I'm still working on it, but that's something that I realized about myself, and it was really showing up in my different relationships.
Another boundary, especially with dating, when getting intimate with someone, like, don't let them push you to do something that you're not ready for.
Men be so pushy. So like pushy. What's wrong with y'all? Why are y'all like this? Some of them are very pushy.
And I don't think men understand, like, if you have to constantly basically beg for it, like, ask them for it, and they're finally like, oh, okay, that's sexual assault.
Oh my God, I was about to say that.
And y'all don't understand.
Coercion. That's literally sexual assault. It's never that serious. Mm-hmm. If you want it that bad, go find somebody else.
Literally.
To the ladies, do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Never let nobody make you feel like you have to do anything. You hold the power. At the end
literally,
of the day,
you hold the power.
Yeah.
And if someone tries to take that from you, it's not your fault.
What would Tamira tell the older version of herself that didn't feel self-love?
Jeez. One, stay off them dating apps.
But no. I used to tell you all the time to stop getting like on there.
It was at a point where it's like everyone was doing it. All these new apps were coming out. Everyone was on the app, so they're like, "Oh, you should do it too." Your priority needs to be you at all times. When we're young, we need to focus on ourselves and developing and becoming who we want to be, and not making it about some guy.
Yes.
He's not going to be in our lives for that long anyway.
Yes. I feel like our 20s should really be mostly about finding ourselves, walking into our purpose, accomplishing things that we've been wanting to accomplish.
Yeah. But if I had to say one thing, it's like just boundaries. Like, learn how to set your boundaries and stick to them. Like, that's the best thing you can do. If you can master how to set boundaries and stick to that.
Well,
You're one of the strongest people alive.
I wish somebody would have told 20-year-old Micaiah that. Boundaries. Mm-hmm. Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. Like, it's a work in progress, though.
It is.
For
it
real.
Is. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. Like, you know, that's life. We're going to make mistakes, but the point is that we learn from them and we do better.
So how are you a better friend now that you have self-love?
I feel like at the time that I didn't have self-love for real, I had friends who did. And I could see that. I'll kind of be envious, like, wow, you're really confident in yourself. I wish I felt that way about myself. Happy for you, but I'm not there. And so now, and like how we said, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. I feel like I have something in my cup now and I can show up for my friends how I wasn't able to before because I was dealing with all that, or, you know, my mind just wasn't right. But, you know, with self-love, I can feel like I can more be myself to be available for my friends and pour into them how a true friend should.
Yes, I love that for you. And I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
What advice would you give those that are on the journey to find self-love?
One, like how we started the episode, like God. Like, if that's your belief, you always start with God and, like, understand who God is and what his love means. If you don't have self-love, the priority needs to be you. At this moment, what do you need? And do that. You know, setting boundaries, I think, is an important step in finding self-love, because there's always going to be people in your life that are trying to overstep and take. Even if it's, like, not an abusive relationship, but even if it's, like, with your platonic friends or with your family, they're always going to want something from you, and at some point you have to be like, sorry, I can't deal with all that right now. I gotta focus on me right now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just figuring out, like, what's the part of you that you feel like is missing, and focus on that and building that up.
I want to say thank you so much for being the guest on Something About Our 20s and for telling your story, because I know that that wasn't easy. The progress you've made has been amazing. Witnessing it firsthand as your friend, it's beautiful to see. And I'm really happy for you.
I feel like I went through what I went through because I feel like I can help somebody else. And a part of that is being comfortable to share your story.
You hold power in your experiences, your stories. If you feel comfortable in sharing them, share them. You never know who you might help. Mm-hmm. Our 20s come with a lot. We know that.
Man.
Your journey and your experiences, they're all going to be different. And to know that you experienced that in your 20s, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. But you're making it through.
Yeah. And that's another thing to be grateful for. Like, I'm glad that if I had to go through that, that it was when I was young, so that, you know, I could get that behind me and then focus on the future. Because unfortunately, a lot of women go through that when they're a lot older and they have kids with that person. And it's like, it's a lot harder to get out of those type of situations. So, you know, what happens in our 20s, good or bad, you know, it's always a silver lining, and it's a stepping stone for what we can do later in life.
Yeah, I believe that. I'm trying to believe that. I think that it's important in our 20s to make sure that we have that self-love. And if you don't, try to embark on that journey and know that loving yourself is a continuous process. Loving yourself is accepting the good and the bad about yourself as well. And to just be patient with yourself and always choose yourself, put yourself first. Self-love plays a big role in our manifestations and the way we show up in different relationships. And it helps us achieve our goals as well. So to everyone listening, I hope that you find that self-love. And if you have it, good for you. Keep it going.
Right.
But know that it's a process. And if you slip up, it's okay. Thank y'all so much for listening. Thank you again, Samira.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Make sure you leave a review, follow Something About Our 20s on Instagram, and stay tuned for the next episode, which will be coming soon.